Hello, my name is Sam Clements, and welcome to this mini episode of the Picture House podcast. Today, I am joined by Brady Jondrew to talk about his new film, The Rider. The Rider is a film that you may have heard about because it's had extensive coverage on the festival circuit, both in the UK and internationally. It, in fact, played at the London Film Festival almost a year ago, and I know people have been dying to watch this film again, or those who didn't see it at the festival to see it for the very first time. I only watched this recently, and it left a huge impact on me. I was doing hyperbolic tweets afterwards, saying, "It's the best film I've seen all year," and things to that effect, and it really is how I felt after I watched the film. It's remarkable. Chloe Zhao, director and writer of the film, Chloe Zhao, has created such an intimate relationship between Brady, his character on screen, and his family, and most importantly, the animals that he works with. He is a rodeo guy. He is a horse trainer. He works with animals and with livestock, and his bond with those animals is so unique, and it's captured so well. It's partly due to the fact that Brady, in real life, he isn't from an acting background. He is a rodeo guy. He is a horse trainer. This is what he does. And he, in his own personal life, had quite a traumatic accident, which was the starting point for the story of this film and how he plays this character on screen. That's kind of what I wanted to talk to Brady about whilst he was in town. I think it's such a remarkable set of circumstances that's led to this film exist and made this film the great film that it actually is. So without further ado, I will pass over to myself from a few days ago with Brady in a hotel in London talking about his journey to the screen. Enjoy. So Brady, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's a real honour to have you on the podcast. I think there's a lot of people at the Picture House office who love this film. For us, the film first played in Cannes in the film festival out there, and that's where a lot of our team saw it. What do you remember from those first few festival screenings of this movie?
Well, my wife was about 8 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
At the time of the Cannes Film Festival, so I was unable to attend. But the first one I went to was the Telluride Film Festival. Mm. And then after that, Toronto and, you know, all over, South by Southwest, the True False Film Festival, a whole bunch of them.
Amazing.
So, I mean, it's been a pretty busy run, you know. I mean, I've done like hundreds, meaning like at least close to probably 300 interviews.
Wow.
On this, you know, I do interviews when I'm training colts at home. Sometimes I'm riding out in the pasture doing, you know, a set of interviews. I mean, it's had me pretty busy.
when you first sort of signed up to do this film and you started this project, did you imagine, you know, the life it would have after the film's been finished?
I didn't get my hopes up at all. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't even understand the filmmaking process, so I didn't watch dailies, you know. But after the editing was all finished and I watched it for the first time, it was on a laptop. But I still really appreciated it, and I thought a lot of it, and I was very impressed.
I think listeners might not know too much about your background. Could you tell us a bit about how you became involved in this film and what you were doing before Chloe approached you to star in the film?
Well, after I graduated high school, I went to Oklahoma Panhandle State University on a full-ride rodeo scholarship in Goodwill, Oklahoma, and to ride bulls and saddle broncs. And I decided to take the next step in my rodeo career and buy my permit in the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, the PRCA, and return home and rodeo on the Badlands circuit. And when I came home, I needed a job, and a lot of times in the summer, I would go and help my elder cousin, my uncle, Todd O'Brien. I call him my uncle. Mm-hmm. He runs the Muleshoe Angus Ranch there near Sharp's Corner, South Dakota, on the Pioneer Indian Reservation. Yeah, it's near Sharp's Corner, South Dakota, and he raises registered Angus beef cattle. You know, has a large ranch there, and it has a bull sale each year in April. And so I went back there to work for Todd. And Chloe shot part of her first movie songs My Brothers Taught Me on Todd's ranch.
Oh, wow.
And she felt like she didn't capture the Western heritage of the heartland of America in her first film, so she came back to basically do that in her second one. But Chloe had no knowledge of ranch life at all, so she went there to do research, you know, initially anyway. She wasn't sure where, what, who she was going to, you know, she just had no idea. She needed to learn more about cowboys first. When she went back there, it was in about April, and I had just started working there again in February. I met Chloe there. Todd introduced me to her, and she actually wanted to, like, learn how to ride horses.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, get the full experience, you know, and push cattle. And, you know, she would ask me, like, things like, you know, show me something, you know, about right here that can reflect on your culture. So I dig up a bitterroot and I say, you know, we used this back long ago, you know, to numb, you know, and toothache and or putting, you know, or like a poultice. And, you know, she thought that was pretty cool. You know, I showed her, like, sage for missile burning and different things like that, you know, like different berries and stuff. And then she seen my ability to work with young horses, wild horses. And she noticed that even though people were around me, you know, she was videoing me with her phone, things like that, it wouldn't, you know, obscure my connection with the animal in any way. And she figured I could have that, you know, same thing, you know, like the connection with the audience, you know, and not being able to see, you know, and act and perform.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not feel the camera there. I think it's very similar in a lot of ways. And basically, after that, you know, she talked to me about possibly putting me in the movie. And, you know, I chuckled about it at first. I didn't really know what to think of it. You know, I never even had any exposure to this at all. So basically, she talked to me about possibly playing the lead role after a while. So, you know, I started to kind of, you know, okay, well, if she wants to play the lead role, she must be serious about actually doing this, you know, and serious about actually having me in it, you know. And I kind of expected her to, you know, say, oh, yeah, we don't need you now, you know, the next time she talked to me about it. But then the next time she talked to me about it, she said, lead role.
Wow.
So.
That's huge.
Yeah. So we played around with all sorts of different ideas, like one following me down the rodeo circuit, one of me just as a horse trainer, one of me just as a cowboy, you know, completely fictional stuff, you know, documentary stuff, like. Maybe a romance, you know, all sorts of different things. So basically, nothing seemed to fit.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was really, I mean, something that we were like, okay, we want to go all in on this and do this, you know. Nobody really, I mean, you know, thought that we had anything to work with at that time. So Chloe kept, you know, brainstorming, things like that, and she came back to the ranch numerous times and, you know, would go riding with us, and her and the cinematographer, Joshua Richards, he'd come a lot too, and, I mean, they both rode horses a lot with us, and, you know, we got to know them really well. And then about a year after I had first met Chloe, it was on April Fool's Day of 2016, I was injured at the Fargo PRCA rodeo. And it didn't knock me out initially. I went to a seizure at the hospital. They did brain surgery. There's a 3 1/4 inch break.
Wow.
And about an inch deep into my head. And, you know, brain bleed, 3 parts of my brain injured, or no, 2 parts of my brain injured, 3 parts of my skull broken. They had to take a bunch of, you know, chips out. They had to take the manure, horse manure, and sand out. And
wow.
Put a big old plate in there, a whole bunch of stitches on the inside and the outside. You know, high grade antibiotics, anti seizure medication, painkillers, you know, you name it. Anti nausea medication, all sorts of, you know, stuff to counteract what the pills were causing me to do, too. So, and I mean, these were all by IV initially when I woke up. I first woke up, started taking my tubes out and everything. Didn't know who I was. They strapped me to the bed. They did breathing tests. They did all sorts of stuff. Finally let me wake up from the coma. Still didn't really know who I was. Every time I took a nap, it was like more come back to me. More of I would be myself more each time I would rest, basically. And, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if that was just the after effects of the injury being so sudden or if it had something to do with maybe even the medication I was on. Or what exactly. But basically, after a couple days, I had, you know, probably about 50% regained myself, and I demanded to be let loose.
Right.
So they said, well, we can't legally hold you as long as you can take medication orally, walk, you know, take care of yourself, and go to the bathroom on your own, things like that, and just perform, you know, eat, you know.
Yeah.
So I just did, you know, I did the best I could, and they released me, and my anti-seizure medication was making me crazy, so I quit taking that. Basically, I just would take my painkillers when I needed them, yeah. And I took my antibiotics. And after that, I put a pinch of chew in on the way home because it was a tobacco-free facility. I hadn't had any chew or any hardly, because they didn't have a feeding tube in me, so I didn't have any nourishment the whole time either.
Wow.
So, yeah, so on the way home, I put a pinch of chew in, and when I was done with my chew, I was hungry. So I got a chuck wagon or something at the gas station, and I ate it, and it was good. And 3 days after I got home, I helped my father-in-law, Leroy Puir, who is also in the movie.
Mm.
I'm the gentleman with the hook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
My wife's also in the movie, Terry Don in the pickup at the bar scene.
Oh, amazing.
That's my wife, and then the gentleman with the hook is her father.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, no, it's a total family matter, I guess. But anyway, I helped him pull a calf out of a first calf heifer. She'd been bred as a yearling and had a calf for the first time as a 2-year-old. And it was her first calf, and she was a smaller cow, and she needed help.
Hmm.
So I helped him do that, and that was, like I said, 3 days after I got home. And then 2 weeks after I had returned home, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to ride Gus again for the first time. And then, because I was just an emotional wreck, you know, after, for numerous reasons, you know. And I started to kind of regain myself, and then a month and a half after my head injury, I actually was training horses, again, wild horses full time. And that was half the time, you know, a month and a half is half of 3 months, and they said to not even jog or lift over 10 pounds for at least three months, and then come back and be cleared to do so, but I never returned to the hospital.
And is that when Chloe got back in touch to talk about the film?
I posted on Facebook a successful training and tagged the owner of the horse to in the video, you know.
Mm.
Chloe seen this and she called me and she was talking to me about it. Like, she's like, you know, you miss it and stuff. And I was like, well, I mean, I've been riding colts. I mean, this was just this morning and stuff. And she like freaked out on me. I was like, Brady, what the hell? You could get killed. What are you doing? You know, you're crazy and all this. I said, well, Chloe, you know, I don't feel alive not riding. I don't even feel like myself. I don't have meaning.
Mm.
And she's like, so you would risk your life to keep doing what you love? And I was just like, well, yeah, you know. And she's like, all right, well, we have a story here. She's like, you think you can keep riding colts and even for, you know, an act at the same time? I was like, well, I'm a month and a half in debt, so that's what I'm going to have to do.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So every day I'd wake up at 5 a.m., drink coffee, and go ride colts, you know, about 6-headed colts. Till 1 noon, you know, go inside, shower, and get ready to shoot until magic hour, dark, you know, some scenes after dark. So
that's remarkable. What an incredible story. And it's sort of, I mean, you've went through so much, you know, personally in that time, but I guess to have this film as part of your recovery, that must be quite a special experience.
It was, you know, during my recovery too, and, you know, to actually see that, you know, I had to relive it in some ways, but then again, I also accepted it more, you know. Mm. So it was like therapeutic in some ways as well.
Absolutely.
Or comforting or something, I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, you must be, that must have been quite tricky, or was it, to sort of, you know, relive some of those more traumatic bits?
You know, I mean, I just would remember the emotion I felt then and try to portray it the best I could, you know.
I think that as a member of the audience watching it on the other side of the, you know, cinema screen, you see such an authenticity that you don't often see with a movie.
And that's the main thing we wanted, was to, you know, keep the authenticity, you know, of basically life on the reservation, for one.
Yes.
And life as, you know, a young cowboy in South Dakota, you know, too. So, and everybody we've talked to, especially, you know, from the cowboy aspect, it's the old cowboys that are going to be the hardest judges of it.
Mm.
And every old cowboy I've talked to about the movie really likes it. So
Oh, that's like no greater accolade than people saying that about their work. Oh, that's remarkable. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Brady. Yeah. Your story is incredible, and this film is remarkable, and I think our audiences are going to really enjoy it.
Thank you. It means a lot.